30. The crick crack is the best way.
Are you alone?
The red-haired woman stood inside the passenger car, holding a glass of wine in her metal hand. Octavia tried to give her a nasty look, but it was made difficult by the way the man holding her had twisted her neck. She yanked her arm, testing his grip. Not much chance of breaking free.
I'm not alone, Octavia said. A whole regiment of Marines is coming. Ah, you are young and full of spite. I remember those days.
There wasn't so much as a glimmer of kindness in her eyes, only determination. What had Modo said her name was?
Hack.
No, something Nordic, so it ended with Dottir.
Hackandottir.
The woman went on.
A pity we don't have time for conversation. Who sent you here?
Queen Victoria, Octavia answered. Got a messenger pigeon from her this morning. Hackandottir took another sip of wine, then squeezed the glass till it shattered.
Alan sent you, correct? Alan?
At that, Hackandottir laughed.
Forgive me, you don't know that Mr. Socrates' first name is Alan. The old spider is still hard to kill.
Octavia remained expressionless. Did that mean Mr. Socrates had survived the attack in the house?
He's desperate. Sending a child to spy on us. His association falters.
The door opened and Fur stepped in, joints hissing. A man with short grey hair and glasses entered with him. His withered right arm was encased in a series of metal rings that supported it. His tiny hand was enhanced by several large metal fingers, so it looked as though he were wearing an iron glove. The contraption hissed steam as he pointed at her.
She belongs to Socrates, he said. Her name is Octavia Milkweed. She's a very low cog in his network.
Thank you for your unsolicited opinion, Hackandottir said.
Octavia never forgot her face, and she had seen this one with Mr. Socrates several months ago. He was a member of the Permanent Association, but at that time his withered arm had no fancy attachments.
Gibbons, she said,
for she rarely forgot a name, either.
Named after the ape, I assume. Is your new hand especially designed to stab people in the back?
You witch, he spat.
Hackandottir smiled.
She is a clever little serpent, but ignore her. We have more pressing concerns. Do you have news, Fur?
Construction is complete. I must take the helm.
Then do so. When our work is finished, you will dump the instrument in the Thames. We do not want them to have our wondrous creation. Is that understood?
Fur nodded and said,
Understood perfectly. But understand this. Don't be late collecting me. I'm not much of a swimmer any more.
I'll be punctual, I promise. I'll summon the Vesuvius now to ensure my arrival. Gibbons, go to the observational platform. You won't want to miss the show.
When the two men had left, Hackandottir went to a table in the corner. On it was a collection of peculiar objects. Pieces of clockwork, a phonograph, darkened goggles, a telegraph machine. With her metal fingers, she tapped out a message on the telegraph. Octavia assumed it was wireless. She knew Mr. Socrates owned a similar device.
Would you care to let me in on your plans?
She asked, trying to shake the henchman off again.
We are about to strike a blow that will bring Britannia to her knees. How exciting. You mock me, child. Our interview is done.
Hackandottir clicked her fingers together while saying to her accomplice,
Kill her. Don't leave a mess.
She met Octavia's eyes as she slipped on a long overcoat and left. The man tightened his grip on Octavia's arms.
You don't really want to murder me, she said.
The man jerked her forward a few steps.
I'm sorry, miss.
His breath smelled like rotten sardines.
Orders is orders. Any other day I'd just give you a how-d'ye-do.
Let's pretend today is one of those days.
He chuckled gruffly.
It don't work that way, miss. Now, I'm not one of them brutal types. I'm not wanting you to feel the pain. You got any particular way you prefer? Smothering leaves a lovely corpse. Or how about a quick crick of the neck?
How about old age?
He laughed again.
You're a brave one, and I admire that, miss. But I think the crick-crack is best for both of us.
She tried to elbow him in the stomach, but he squeezed her arms even tighter.
Now, now.
When he released one arm to get a better hold on her shoulders, she slumped down. She pretended to weep, hoping for an ounce of pity in his heart. It only encouraged him to hurry.
I'll be quick, miss, I promise.
He moved his hand to her neck.
Me father taught me this. On chickens, of course. He weren't no murderous sort, but the principle's the same.
He now had a tight armhold on her head, but her left hand was free. She snaked it into the opening in her dress, feeling about for the stiletto. Finding the handle, she pulled it out and made to stab him in the leg, but he caught her hand and twisted it so hard she let out a cry. The stiletto clattered to the floor.
You're quick. Can't blame you for trying.
Something boomed outside like a shell exploding, rattling the windows of the train car.
I'd better put the speed on or I'll miss the show. They promised it'd be a big one,
the man said. Octavia pulled and kicked and tried to bite him.
Best if you don't fight. It'll all be over in...
The door banged open, striking the wall. Fur, sweaty and pale, stumbled in. He was disheveled, his clothes covered with a cloak, and had lost half his hair. He jerked his head, but his gaze didn't focus on anything. In fact, to Octavia, he looked blind. Then his eyes seemed to focus, and he fell to his knees.
Trouble,
he moaned.
Trouble out there. What is it, sir? The gas exploded. The experiment failed.
He put his hands on the desk and crawled to his feet, his sides heaving. Blotches scarred his face, as though he'd been splashed by acid. He stumbled closer to them, gloved hands squeezed into fists. She heard a smack and a groan. Her captor fell back.
What's that for, sir?
He cried, dropping Octavia. When she tried to get up, he kicked her in the stomach. She curled into a ball and looked up to see Fur knocking the man's head back. He smacked him a third time, straight on the jaw. The man fell, cracking his head on the desk on the way down to the floor, where he lay in a heap. Octavia got to her knees, holding her stomach. Fur's face seemed to be bubbling. He lurched forward as though he was about to fall on her.
Where was the stiletto? There. Stay back,
she hissed, as she snatched it from the floor and pointed it at him. He blinked and staggered, found his balance.
Octavia, he said in a familiar voice. It's me, Modo. I'm here to save you.